The New York Knicks finalized a contract extension with RJ Barrett that could have repercussions for the Miami Heat. Why hasn't Tyler Hero gotten his contract extended? And is Miami now the frontrunner for Donovan Mitchell? We break it all down, plus the latest on Markieff Morris joining the Nets on today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. It's a Thursday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily podcast covering all things Miami Heat, however you may be listening or watching on YouTube, Odyssey, or on your favorite podcast app. Thanks so much for making us your first listen every day. I'm David Ramel, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Wes Goldberg. On Monday night, it was reported that the New York Knicks had finalized a contract extension with RJ Barrett, a four-year deal reportedly worth up to $120 million. According to Barrett's agent. And while we won't debate if it's a good deal for the Knicks or not, the fact remains that it does have some impact for the Miami Heat. For one, it sets a bar for what Miami may or may not offer Tyler Hero in terms of his looming extension, one they don't have to finalize until closer to the start of the season, October 18th to be exact. But, and perhaps more crucial for Miami's offseason plans, is that the Barrett deal makes things more difficult for the Knicks in terms of their pursuit of Utah star Donovan Mitchell. So, Wes, let's start there. According to reports from ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, Knicks GM Leon Rose had set Monday night as a deadline to either finalize a deal with Utah for Mitchell or to get the extension for Barrett done. So with the latter finalized, does this put the Heat in the driver's seat to get something done for Donovan Mitchell?
The short answer is no. It doesn't put anybody in the driver's seat to acquire Donovan Mitchell. I think the fact that Leon Rose and the Knicks set a deadline to basically say to Danny Ainge, who's now running things for the Utah Jazz, saying, hey, look, either bleep or get off the pot. Like, let's get this done. Are you taking this seriously or aren't you? There's been some reporting out there that the Knicks' final offer was RJ Barrett, Evan Fournier, 5 first-round picks, 2 of which would be unprotected and 3 protected. That's an insane amount of stuff. Like, that is so much. And if that was their final offer, that I understand, and that's sitting there for Danny Ainge to accept. And if I'm the Knicks, I would have done the same thing. I would have said, dude, are you going to – this is an insane amount of things for Donovan Mitchell, who's a good player, but not worth all of that. He's not. And if the Knicks were that motivated to put all that on the table and they just weren't getting a straight answer from the Jazz, I get why it is that they did that. And to take it back to the Miami Heat, if that was the Knicks' final offer, the Heat can't even compete with that. Like the Knicks – I think with the Knicks taking RJ Barrett basically off the board – yep. It opens the door for Miami to match the Knicks' best offer now, right? But that was the Knicks' best offer prior to the RJ Barrett extension. And Utah said no. So I don't know what has to change for Danny Ainge. I'm honestly, man, I'm getting to the point now where I don't even know. I've got to really seriously doubt whether or not Danny Ainge is serious about even trading Donovan Mitchell. Like, I'm not even sure he wants to. Because if you're saying no to 5 first-round picks and a really good young player in RJ Barrett for Donovan Mitchell, then it just doesn't feel like you really want to trade him. I know that you traded Rudy Gobert for basically net-net, two good young players and 3 unprotected firsts, 1 protected first and a swap, which I don't really care about the swaps as much, but basically 4 firsts and 2 good young players, which is a lot of money or a lot of things to get Gobert, and that you're trying to maybe exceed like your own record-breaking trade in a Donovan Mitchell deal. It's not going to happen, and I really got to doubt whether or not Danny Ainge is serious, and that's where I think the Knicks were coming from in putting forth that deadline, that artificial deadline. And now I don't know where things stand. I just don't think if this is what Danny Ainge is looking for, I don't think anybody gets Donovan Mitchell.
Well, you can't fault Ainge, right? Like, I mean, he's doing his job in terms of getting whatever is possible, the most that is possible for any player that he's looking to trade. Like, he's trying to get the best deal. And I know the joke about Trader Ainge is that he always gets so close and everything else. But, you know, I guess from the perspective of I'm trying to get the most possible in any proposed deal. Like, if you could possibly squeeze the Knicks, and we know the Knicks are desperate for a star because they haven't had one. They probably overpaid for Jalen Brunson. They haven't had a star since Carmelo Anthony. Julius Randle, as solid as he's been, had an off second year with the Knicks. Yeah, and he's not that guy. So they're looking for somebody. And maybe it's Mitchell, maybe it's not. I'm not even sure that Mitchell could necessarily emerge as that star for the New York Knicks. But regardless, go listen to Locked On Knicks if you want that kind of perspective. The reality is
I would push back on the fact that that he's just doing his job, that Ainge is just doing this job. he is obviously doing his job. I just don't think he's doing it well. I can blame him, because if you're getting to the point now where things get so awkward with Donovan Mitchell, where you've got Adrian Wojnarowski and Tony Jones from The Athletic reporting now that Utah is okay bringing Donovan Mitchell into training camp and just going forth with him, I mean, he has been dangled in these trades this whole time. He can't be happy, and everybody on the planet knows he's not long for Utah. If Ainge doesn't trade him now, once he's a free agent, he's leaving. Like, it's only a matter of time. And so this
that's
was
years
the,
from now, right?
Whatever, but it. I, are you going to get better than this?
You can always get these.
You're never going to get better than this.
You can always go back into these draft conversation or trade conversations later on in the year. Like, maybe you pass up the best offer of Barrett, whatever else the Knicks had to offer.
Yeah.
But maybe you can shift down to that secondary deal later
and then,
on.
And therefore, I think we can blame. That's all I'm saying. I think we can blame Ainge for doing this. Like, this is annoying if you're a Jazz fan. Like, you had this great offer on the table. You're not getting better than that. If anything, it probably gets worse. And if you're Danny Ainge and you turn around at the deadline and you instead of RJ Barrett and 5 first-round picks, you get Obi Toppin and 4 first-round picks, that is a materially worse return package for Donovan Mitchell. You just did a bad job if you're Danny Ainge, because you've basically already telegraphed to the entire league, hey, we're going to trade Donovan Mitchell. It's only a matter of when.
So the secondary offer then from the Knicks, according to, I think, Tony Jones of The Athletic, is a deal around 3 Knicks players that the Jazz covered. Barrett, Quentin Grimes, and Obi Toppin. So it looks like Barrett's probably off the table. So it would be Grimes, Toppin, maybe Fournier just for in terms of contract, and then 3 first-round picks or something along those lines. Looking at it from a Miami perspective, is that equal to, better, or worse than any deal involving Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, maybe Omer Yurtseven, and whatever picks they could potentially offer? I think that's the big question. Because to me, I mean, I think Hero's a better player than Barrett. I think there are a lot of people probably internally around the league that believe that Barrett has higher upside just because of his athleticism and his size and everything else like that. But right now, Hero's a better player. Like, without having to be the star on this team, he's already gone ahead and done something that Barrett can't. Like, I think he's a more consistent scorer. I think he's a better shooter, etc. That's not to say that Barrett's not a fine player. But again, based on his contract extension and the poison pill provision included in those contract extensions, it seems like Barrett's off the table. So you're looking at Obi Toppin and Grimes versus Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero. That seems like a much better deal to me.
Which one? The Tyler Hero one?
The Tyler Hero deal. Okay. Yeah, like Hero's.
Well, I mean, but that's also assuming that the Knicks only stick at like 3 or 4 first-round picks. They have a ton of picks
that they
can deal. And I think this is ultimately maybe where Danny Ainge is hoping to steer the conversation. Maybe he's like you. Maybe he wasn't totally sold on RJ Barrett, right? And we've got reporting, by the way, from the Salt Lake Tribune saying that there's people in the Jazz front office that like Tyler Hero more than RJ Barrett. Maybe Ainge is one of those people. I don't know. I have no idea. But the Knicks can still beat Miami's best offer if they're willing to put even more of their draft picks on the table, which, again, if it was already at 5 picks, all right, I guess now you get to keep RJ Barrett and get – at some point, look – you want to get as much talent as possible if you're the Knicks. Would they? But to put Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, and RJ Barrett together on one team and get rid of more than 5 first-round picks, like 6, 7 first-round picks, swaps, all these things. Like, if we're talking about like net 8 picks between unprotected first and protected first and swaps, which is basically what Houston got for James Harden, which I would imagine is sort of the baseline Danny Ainge is trying to reach here. I don't know. It kind of feels like that's not worth it. But if the Knicks really want Donovan Mitchell, they can do it. Like, that's the thing. And the Heat can't. You said, like, whatever first-round picks Miami can offer. It's only 2 right now. And it could get up to only 3 if they are able to lift the protections from the OKC pick, which, by the way, we just sort of put out there as, yeah, just do that. That's going to cost Miami something. Like, OKC's not going to just do that for nothing. So it's going to take those 3, maximum of 3 first-round picks, presumably unprotected, to even get into the conversation, plus Tyler Hero and, like you said, Duncan Robinson or something like that for salary filler. And, I think it opens the door for Miami. It just really depends on how many picks the Knicks are willing to put in now that they've locked up RJ Barrett.
I'm kind of done with it, to be honest with you. Like, I like Donovan Mitchell a lot. I think he's got potential. I think he's a nice fit in Miami, and he's clearly a better player than Tyler Hero now. But given that he's 26 and that Tyler's just 22, there's no way that we could say for certain that Hero won't become the better player or at least more consistent. Like, you could look at the points per game numbers and all those counting stats and everything else like that. Mitchell has the ball in his hands a lot more than Tyler does. That's just the reality. The usage is there. The fact that he's their team's go-to scorer, for better or for worse, they've had to live and die with it. sometimes it's been for worse. They've been eliminated in the playoffs early on because of Donovan Mitchell and his inefficient scoring. So given that you've already got Hero on the roster, I think it's just time for Miami to cut bait. And maybe they have, and maybe we won't get any kind of confirmation of that until much later on. But it just seems like right now they're trying to keep all their avenues open just in case something falls through or in case Danny Ainge suddenly realizes, you know what, Hero is a much better player. I'm willing to accept what seems on paper like a smaller, lesser deal than whatever New York offered. But I think the reality is that Miami is just moving forward, keeping Tyler Hero on the roster, and it's probably not going to be in the running for Donovan Mitchell until he becomes a free agent or a disgruntled star later on, years down the road. Am I crazy in thinking this?
I've got like a bigger Donovan Mitchell thing. I agree with you, by the way, but I'm trying to figure out why Miami would remain in the Donovan Mitchell. And by the way, we have no reporting that the Heat are pursuing Donovan Mitchell. Woj just reported that there's no other teams having serious conversations with Utah. So this is us just projecting, but it's clear that the Heat didn't do what the Knicks did with extending RJ Barrett. The Heat have not done that with Tyler Hero and basically taking themselves out of that conversation either. So they're keeping that door open, but maybe it's something we should explore in the next segment.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll talk about Tyler and his looming extension as well and get into the latest news regarding Markieff Morris after a one-year stint in Miami joining the Brooklyn Nets. What does that mean for Miami? Well, if you'd like to place your bets on whether or not the Brooklyn Nets have a better chance of winning their title, then betonline.net is your number one source for all of your pro and college football betting needs and all sports info in this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games. Where did the Dolphins start? I don't know when their season kicks off, to be honest.
2 weeks from now against New England. Huh. Not this weekend, but the next weekend. Right out of the gate.
Scheduled loss?
I don't know. Dolphins and Patriots are sort of even this year.
All right. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. And just a reminder, you can always reach us via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. You know, we're really close on YouTube to 5,000 subscribers. We're right there. We want that support. Yeah. I want to make that a start of season goal.
Okay, and I like it. Hit that subscribe button, guys. It's right there if you're watching on YouTube.
I know there's a lot of frustration about the offseason. They didn't get KD. They haven't gotten Donovan Mitchell yet. They didn't sign X player. Who knows? I'm still optimistic, and you want to get the best coverage possible regarding your Miami Heat, then this is the place to do so. Please subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts.
Can I pick up on the point that I was making with Donovan Mitchell?
Yes, do you mind? Please.
Okay, because I want to move on to the Tyler Hero extension, but just one thing really quick. Just trying to figure out what it is that Miami might see in Donovan Mitchell because, like I said, I agree with you. Donovan Mitchell's a better player than Tyler Hero. He probably has more he has more upside than Tyler Hero. But yeah, if we're talking about giving up the entire future and Tyler Hero to bring in Donovan Mitchell, then you have to be really sure that bringing in Donovan Mitchell makes a noticeable difference for you in the postseason, right? Which is where Tyler Hero did not have a great playoff run last year, and obviously Miami came within a shot of making the finals, but you're looking for somebody that can get you over the hump in the Eastern Conference, over Milwaukee, over Boston, perhaps Philly, perhaps even Brooklyn. That's the kind of player you're looking for. I don't think that Donovan Mitchell is clearly that player. I think you have to be 100% sure that that player that you're mortgaging the future for does get you over the hump. But that said, you just look at Donovan Mitchell's playoff stats versus Tyler Hero's playoff stats. I know Tyler Hero had an incredible playoff run as a rookie, but since then, hasn't been great, right? Like, we remember the first round sweep against Milwaukee. He was not good. Even last year, he was a little hobbled. Not bad. He averaged, I have it right here. He averaged, he wasn't great. Never mind. You look at their career playoff stats. All right, this is Tyler Hero. 14 points a game on 41.5% shooting, 32.3% from three-point range. So let's just stick with the scoring numbers for now. Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs. And even this is including last year's not great run because the vibes in Utah were clearly bad. But you even go, this is a guy who averaged 36 points in the playoffs 3 years ago. But 28.3 points per game on 43% shooting, 37% from three-point range. He is a vastly superior postseason player to Tyler Hero. Just so far in their careers, you just look at the production, you can't argue it. And so if I'm Miami, that's the reason I am pursuing Donovan Mitchell potentially. Again, no reporting right now that they have had any conversations with Utah recently about Donovan Mitchell, yeah. Although we do believe that they did have those conversations previously. But
at one point, yeah.
If they are going to go all in on Donovan Mitchell, that's the reason why, is because he's a player who in the postseason can get off his own shot and can score with the best of them.
That's it right there. And getting off his shot, not just that, but also getting to the line, something that Tyler is not good at. Not only does Tyler not get to the line, but then he just doesn't have that explosiveness, that first step, the ability to get past that initial defender, which is why when teams like Boston or Philadelphia target him and figure out a way of trying to keep that first step from being even less effective, he's basically mitigated. He's just taken out of the equation completely. He just is a non-factor. And that's Miami's offense was so heavily invested and relied on him so much during the regular season that when he was removed, it required Jimmy Butler to become the superhuman that he was during the playoffs. And that's not the goal. The goal is to have a balance between your primary scorers. Tyler just wasn't it. And so that's why the pursuit of Mitchell is a realistic one. Again, I like Mitchell.
Yeah,
I love Mitchell. I wish he was going to fall to Miami somehow. That's just not the reality. Right now, they have to look elsewhere. I don't know. I just don't think it's going to happen. And given that, you just have to look at making this team the best possible, which is, as I've said before, why they should probably make a smaller trade for just a starting quality power forward so you can make the most of the window that you have right now. Mm-hmm. The future be damned. It doesn't really matter. Like, I mean, who knows what happens in 2-3 years or whether or not you're able to trade another player down the road. Or something could happen. But for now, it's time to improve this roster as much as possible. And one way you can do that.
The idea would be, I mean, we know how much Donovan Mitchell and Bam Adebayo get along. Like, if, oh, yeah. I guess the other part of if you're Miami's
front office.
We
haven't even talked about their pro-am chemistry there. But
I mean, yeah, I mean, it was very clear. Like, Bam Adebayo would love to play with Donovan Mitchell in real life, you know?
They're friends. They're friends.
Yeah, very close. And do you think if you're Miami's front office that, let's just say you have no first-round picks between now and 2029, you trade away Tyler Hero for Donovan Mitchell, which, again, you're getting about 4 years younger at that position, but you're getting the upside that Donovan Mitchell brings. And the immediate, you know, the production that he brings that Tyler Hero has not shown that he could bring in the playoffs. But,
right. Like,
do you think that with a 26-year-old Donovan Mitchell, who turns 26 in the beginning of September, and a 25-year-old Bam Adebayo, are you comfortable with just that duo going forward? And you're just like, you know what? Those first-round picks aren't going to be that valuable anyway because those two guys are so good and going to be so good for the next half decade until those picks basically expire that if you're good with just running that, obviously you've got Jimmy Butler now. I'm talking about like 3, 4, 5 years from now. Like, what do you think about that duo? Do you think that duo is good enough to remain contenders in the Eastern Conference, even when Jimmy Butler kind of tails off his prime and Kyle Lowry retires and all this stuff happens? I don't know the answer to that, but that would be sort of the central question, I think, to Miami's front office.
I think you are comfortable. Again, like you want a framework of something. And in years past, like you can look to the big three, you can look to 2004 when they made the trade for Shaq. All it takes is one at least. You have to have at least one star on your roster already to say, you know what, we can continue to add somebody, trade for somebody, build off of this. If you've got Adebayo and Mitchell on the roster already, locked into contracts long term from that point forward, I think that's enough. Lowry's off the books by that point. Robinson's probably getting moved at some point after that. You still have Jimmy, whatever incarnation we see of him 3 or 4 years down the road. That's enough. Like I mean,
it's enough for
all in
to compete, right? It might not be enough to win the championship, but it's enough to compete. I agree.
It never is. I mean, it's you're not building another team like the big three that was so clearly dominant, and even the big three only won 2 out of 4 opportunities. Right. You know, it's like. The winning a championship is hard no matter how much talent you have acquired. Like Boston right now has their deepest team that they've had in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that they're necessarily any better next year if Jason Tatum gets hurt or if Jaylen Brown goes down or, you know, something just goes wrong. Let's say they miss a shot or it always boils down to the last second or something like that. You do what you can to build it in the moment because who knows what could happen.
Right.
And when an actual game is being played or 2 years down the road or 3 years
I mean,
down
no
the road.
Doubt. It's just like whether or not the Donovan Mitchell thing is materially better. Donovan Mitchell plus Bam Adebayo is that much better than Tyler Hero, whatever you get with those 3 first-round picks and Bam Adebayo. Right. I don't know what the answer is. It really just sort of depends on what Miami's front office also thinks of Donovan Mitchell versus what they think of Tyler Hero and the upside that both of those guys have.
All right, let's quickly get into it. October 18th, a deadline to extend Tyler Hero's contract. And look, Barrett could have gotten a lot more. Hero can get a lot more somewhere. I think around north of $180 million is the final sum.
Like 190,
a
5 year, like
180, yeah. Something like that. Probably not going to get that. I would have assumed it would be closer to 4-100, but mm-hmm. this kind of pushes it a little bit forward. 120. Maybe Ellisberg works his magic and has some of these unrealistic clauses included there that, you know, maybe push the total value, the potential value of that deal north of $100 million. But in reality, he would probably only cash in X amount of money right. of that contract. Are you concerned that they haven't offered Tyler? Do you think Tyler is concerned at this point? Do you think he understands the business well enough to say that's fine, even as he's seeing Barrett get the extension, other players get the extension? Is he a little pissed off about this? I mean, I know you've talked to him in the past.
Sure. How could you not be? I mean, Tyler Hero is pretty clearly somebody who sort of wears his emotions outside and is not afraid to say, yeah, I think I should be starting. Yeah, I think I deserve this. I think I deserve that. And yeah, if you see that the Knicks front office is setting an artificial deadline prior to the real deadline, like you mentioned, which is the start of the regular season to get these things done, then how could you not be bothered by that? The Knicks are showing so much more confidence in their young player than the Heat are in their young player. How would you not be bothered by that? To your point, right now, I think it's a toss-up. You ask, if you poll 30 NBA executives, 50% come in saying RJ Barrett's better, 50% come in saying I'd rather have Tyler Hero. Like, it's pretty even right now. So Tyler Hero's looking at RJ Barrett and like, what's he done that I haven't done? And I've done it in the playoffs and he hasn't. I won Sixth Man of the Year. He doesn't have any hardware. Like, why am I not getting this extension done? Why isn't my front office setting deadlines and taking me basically off the board in any sort of major superstar deal? I understand why Miami isn't. I'm not blaming the Heat front office. But if I'm Tyler Hero, of course I'm bothered by this. To your point, I think we have a pretty clear framework of what his agent is going to be looking for. RJ Barrett just got $107 million guaranteed that can go up to $120 million with certain incentives, all-star games, all defense, all NBA, this kind of stuff. If he checks certain boxes, he can get up to 120. That's like Tyler Hero's agent is going to take this RJ Barrett extension.
Copy and paste,
put it through the copier, bring it to Pat Riley and Andy Ellsberg and Adam Simon and say, this is what we're looking for. And his agent's going to have a good point. I don't know what Miami's front office could say that would be like, we just don't think Tyler Hero is worth this, because he is. Because if RJ Barrett is worth this, then Tyler Hero is worth this. And so I think that the Heat are playing with fire a little bit with Tyler Hero, because sort of the Jaylen Brown situation where it's like, okay, every summer, what do I have to do if I'm Jaylen Brown? I'm getting tossed in this trade rumor and that one. Like, what's going on? And the Boston's front office has never done something like what the Knicks just did with RJ Barrett. What the Knicks just did with RJ Barrett basically saved RJ Barrett's future in New York. Like, that, I believe it is a huge thing. Like, we never see artificial deadlines like that set. And Miami has historically waited until the last minute, and that's what they're probably telling Tyler Hero. Hey, we just wait until the last minute. Look at Bam's extension. Look at Justice Winslow's extension. Like, we always wait until the very last minute. But that doesn't matter if you're Tyler Hero, because you're looking around at what other teams are doing and how other teams are treating their young stars, and you're not being treated that way.
You hope that at the very least, and I'm sure they have, like, I mean, again, we're not reporting or anything, that they've had to have had conversations with Tyler's agent and just to give him some kind of clarity. That doesn't mean that Tyler's agent isn't pushing back and saying, look, why wait? Just get it done. You know, show that commitment. It'll mean a lot to Tyler in the long run. I don't know. You're right about the playing with fire thing. I know these kinds of things do tend to creep up. And I know that years later, when he's an unrestricted free agent, I'm sure this will play a part in it. Like, I don't want to warn anybody or alarm anybody.
Unless they fix it. Unless they extend him and they say, and they elevate him to the starting lineup and they commit to him in some sort of public acknowledgement saying it's him and it's Bam and that's the future. I'm not saying that they have to do that. It just depends on how they evaluate Tyler Hero's ceiling. Right. But there's still a way to save it. But right now they're kind of going the other direction right now. I can't imagine that Tyler Hero is feeling
playing with
secure.
Fire is a good way of putting it, because they did that for years with Dwayne, and there was lingering resentment. To it. Not only did they just never offer him as much money as they possibly could have, they always tried to not lowball him to an extent, but never really gave him that max contract, perhaps. And they wasted 2 years of his prime, too, from 2008 to 2010. Like, those kinds of things build up, and you want to show commitment. It's a two-way street there. You want to expect it from the player who's putting in the offseason work, who's shown that he can, you know, play at a high level, obviously. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely. But I think you have to show that commitment goes both ways. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about this whole situation, plus the latest news regarding Markieff Morris and some breaking news on Montrezl Harrell, whose recent crimes have been, reduced to a misdemeanor and whether or not that might make him an option for the Miami Heat. Stay tuned here on Locked On Heat. Thanks so much for making Locked On Heat your first listen. Make sure to continue to get the best coverage available by subscribing to the show. We're going to be bringing you the best coverage live from Media Day in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great getting a chance to talk to players. It looks like things are opening up a little bit. We might actually have locker room access, Wes.
Crossing my fingers, we'll see.
Yeah, I think we're getting to that point now. I think we're going to be able to talk to these players before and after games. We'll be back in the thick of things as what we once were. It's going to be interesting to see how this team bonds together and how they kind of move past this offseason, a difficult one. But one player who will not be in that locker room, Markieff Morris, after just a short one-year stint with the Miami Heat, marred by injury, of course, thanks to Nikola Jokic. I was recording Locked On NBA a couple days ago with Matt Moore, who, of course, is the co-host for Locked On Nuggets. And he's still throwing Morris under the bus. Like, he just can't help it. Like, I know he was never a fan of Morris to begin with, but he insists that Jokic did not deliver a cheap shot and that Morris instigated things by delivering a really blatant cheap shot, which I still vehemently disagree with. But anyway, that's a long argument there. Anyway, he's joining the Nets. Is that a big loss for Miami? What do the Nets get out of this? Because I'm a little confused as to why they would bring in a guy like that. Like Matt and I were talking about, like, Markieff, not necessarily a bad locker room presence, not necessarily a positive one either, especially if he's going to be griping for minutes and things of that sort. Why not bring back a guy like Paul Millsap or Blake Griffin or something along those lines if you're going to get something similar in terms of overall production?
I think Markieff is better than Paul Millsap at this point, and he might even be better than Blake Griffin at this point. I don't know. I just think that sometimes you're looking for just to mix it up in the locker room. Obviously, the Paul Millsap and Blake Griffin thing didn't work out, and so you're just trying to move on and just try to mix things up. And also, Kevin Durant, sort of a passive dude. Kyrie Irving, kind of a weird guy. You need some muscle in that locker room, right? Like, you just need some dudes that are going to just mix it up and deliver a cheap shot to Jokic, if that's how you want to frame it. Like, you just need a guy. You need some goons in a locker room, right? And that, I understand bringing in Markieff. He's a good power forward. Is it a blow to Miami? Not really, because we never anticipated them bringing back Markieff Morris. It wasn't something that was actually like on the table. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. Good for Markieff getting another shot in Brooklyn, a chance to play for potentially a contender. Good for him. Hopefully he's healthy. That's all I can say about it.
So what about the Harrell news then?
Yeah.
Is there a possibility then that Miami might start kicking the tires on looking something like that? The charge, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, will be expunged from his record after 12 months if Harrell gets into no further legal trouble. So the felony charges of marijuana trafficking reduced to a misdemeanor possession, according to this tweet from Wojnarowski that we're breaking this right as we're recording this show.
We discussed the Montrezl Harrell option in a recent mailbag. It just doesn't make sense for Miami, given that, look, I like Montrezl Harrell fine. He's an all right guy, an all right player, I mean. But
in theory.
But it's a little bit of a clunky fit. He's not really a power forward. I don't know why people keep talking about him like a power forward. He's not, especially next to an undersized center like Bam Adebayo. Neither of them space the floor. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense in terms of your power rotation. They don't really desperately need a backup center because they like Deadman. They like Yurtseven. So, it's like a fun, interesting name, but it doesn't make sense as a fit. And moreover, the Heat don't want to go into the luxury tax. And if they were going to do the luxury tax, if they were going to sign a 15th guy to the roster, Miami, of course, has that open roster spot, but they're not using it because they're trying to duck the luxury tax right now. If they were going to go into the luxury tax, it would be for somebody a lot better than Montrezl Harrell, right? You're not going into that luxury tax and triggering the repeater tax next year for Montrezl Harrell. You're just not doing it. So I'm not saying it as a fit, no.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I don't think there's anything else really to say about it because
we covered it in the mailbag.
No doubt. Anything else left on the Hero extension here? I feel like there's an avenue that maybe that we haven't explored, but I can't quite see it right now. I know it'll probably get resolved, and it's just going to be a much ado about nothing over the next couple of weeks, but it just feels like this one kind of thing looming over the whole start of the training camp and everything else.
No, we'll see, man. Like it's still, I mean, to go back to the first question you asked me, are the Heat in the driver's seat? No, I think the Knicks are still very much in the driver's seat for Donovan Mitchell. If they want to put all of the first-round picks that they have available on the board and send them to Danny Ainge, they can do that. They just have been obviously reluctant to do that, and I think that's a good reason why they haven't. But they're still in the driver's seat. Miami now, like, all I'm saying is with RJ Barrett being locked up now to that extension, it just opens the door for Miami to potentially match New York's best offer, which we had previously thought was impossible. Like, that was just not even an option. Now it becomes at least potentially possible. Doesn't mean that it's going to happen. That's not what I'm saying. It just opens the door to that potentially happening. And it all depends on how Danny Ainge and that Jazz front office evaluate Tyler Herro. And by the way, again, we don't know that Miami is still offering that stuff. We have no idea. Right. Or if Miami, by the time this comes out, who knows? Like, maybe they just lock up Tyler Herro and they do the same thing and they want the clarity and they move forward. Who knows? We'll see. There's going to be a lot more to see how this
plays. Is there anybody else on the Jazz roster that you think is worth
trying to pluck out? Bojan Bogdanović is the guy that I would want.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about that. And I know that in Tony Jones' report, he did mention that other teams are looking at buying Bogdanović off that roster. Is he that much of an upgrade over Duncan?
Well, he plays power forward in a way that Duncan Robinson doesn't. So, yeah, I would say just positionally he makes... I don't think he's a better player than Duncan Robinson, but positionally it just that's a better fit. And you see trades like that happen all the time where people just move like-for-like players because of fit. He's also on an expiring contract. So if the Jazz are just looking to get something for him, you can at least bring in Duncan Robinson, who has, you know, 3-4 years left on his deal. And at least you're not, like, and you can kind of manufacture some value out of Duncan Robinson where it doesn't really feel like that option is there right now for them with Bogdanović, who's not going to re-sign there because he's old. So, yeah, Bogdanović would be the guy I'd be looking at. And I think it's a real possibility, too. I think it makes a lot of sense.
We'll see how it plays out. But anyway, of course, we'll continue to bring you all the coverage regarding any potential deals or trades. Thanks for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. For your second listen, make sure to get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the NBA in just 30 minutes every day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. This is David Ramil signing off for now. Thanks so much for joining me, Wes.
Wrap it up, B.